only a stone's throw away from the South Melbourne markets, vibrant cafe culture, minutes from light rail on the border of Melbourne CBD and Port Melbourne Beach, visit 1585.com.au. 1585, a jewel in the urban landscape.
This is Fifi, Feb and Byron for breakfast. You can catch Cookie Monster, Abby Cadabby and the entire gang on Sesame Street's 48th season. Guys, premiering
that's exciting,
ABC Kids, and that is next Monday. It is back for season 48, Fifi, and the show has grown by a few members this morning.
Well, it has, because not only have we got Cookie Monster back after 2 years, Cookie Monster, it's been 2 years since we saw you.
Time flies, huh?
Doesn't it? And you brought your friend Abby Cadabby with you.
Abby. Now,
he's my cobber.
Now, Cookie Monster, you've met my daughter Trixie before.
Of course, me love Trixie. Hi, Trixie. You look so big. Me saw you 2 years ago. Remember? We had cookies together.
And look, Cookie Monster's brought his friend. Look who that is.
It's me. She looks like a fairy this morning. You got the shiny shoes, and she's got sparkle. You know, shiny's my favorite color.
Good rapport.
Trix, did you have something you wanted to give to Cookie Monster? And maybe one for even Abby, maybe.
What?
There's a cookie.
Oh my God. You got a cookie for Cookie Monster?
Hand that over to Cookie.
Oh, thank you, Trixie. Oh, boy, you know, me gonna eat it. Me not want to mess up the room right now. Me gonna wait.
Where's
my
Trix?
Me gonna show restraint. This is not easy for Monster. Oh, boy.
Now, Trix, your Uncle Byron over there said, Cookie Monster, you met Trixie 2 years ago when she was three then.
Yeah, of course.
Your other friend Elmo met Trixie last year when she was four. And Byron's criticism is that Trixie doesn't talk very much.
Well, that's not Trixie's fault. I think her mother keeps bringing Trixie into the studio, and Trixie doesn't talk very much in the presence of the Sesame Street gang. And so what normally happens is we get a lot of silence and a lot of cute visuals.
That's riveting radio.
Exactly. Thank you, Cookie Monster. Thank you. Finally.
Yes.
Is there anything you'd like to say to Abby Cadabby or Cookie Monster Trix? No.
Say thanks for coming in, guys.
Trixie, thank you for Cookie.
Sweet.
Yeah.
I'm going to share mine with my platypus Mel.
Trix, can we take over the interview now because it's going so well? Can we chat with you guys? Because you know what I love about this? So 48 seasons. I mean, to sit here as a mum who watched you when I was Trixie's age, and now Trixie, the kids of Australia still loving Sesame Street and you guys. Now, I know that Cookie Monster, is this right? There is a food truck in this new season of Sesame Street.
Me got a foodie truck. Can you believe it? They give a license to anybody these days. So me get to drive around in me foodie truck and get orders from kids. And if me no have ingredients in foodie truck, me go get it.
Sure.
Me go everywhere. Me go to avocado farm. Me go to cranberry bog. Me go to a tortilla factory. And we get to see where food come from.
This is
cranberry bog.
And lots of eating along the way. Yes.
A bog.
Cranberry bog.
Ooh, that sounds exciting.
I don't know whether Abby or Cookie Monster, you know this, but Melbourne's renowned for our cuisine and our food culture.
Yeah.
And we've got some trends that are happening at the moment that we're not sure about. Can I run these by you?
Give a bit of the broccoli latte.
Yeah, you might want it in your food truck. A broccoli latte.
What? It sounds gassy.
Me could go for broccoli latte.
Wait, it's...
Sure.
Is there caffeine in it? Because we fairies can't have caffeine.
Well, yeah, there is. There's caffeine. Abby, you're obviously out. I'm very surprised, Cookie Monster, you'd want
to... Oh, really?
Broccoli.
Yeah.
Ooh, boy.
I don't know about it. Just have a normal.
Not so sure about that one.
Yeah, just have a normal latte, I would have thought.
Yeah.
Now, mate, you all the cookies you eat, you're looking trim.
Thank you.
Yeah, been a gym.
Wow, that nice of you to notice. me working out and eating right. Me feel good.
101.9 The Fox.
These guys in the studio to celebrate the 48th season of Sesame Street. It premieres on ABC Kids next Monday. It's Cookie Monster and Abby Cadabby.
You're both on the road at the moment.
Yeah.
What's Cookie Monster like as a travelling companion?
He's fantastic. Yeah, wouldn't you say? I called him my cobber. He's pretty cool. And, you know, he's always polite. When I can't finish my meal, he finishes it for me.
Oh, that's nice.
He's like you and me.
Right now we're leftovers. We don't have to worry about asking for to-go bags or anything like that.
Now, are you two an item?
What?
Excuse me?
We're a pair of pals. ourselves, if that's
we're buddies.
Just buddies.
Yeah, we're just buddies.
Just buddies.
Yeah, he's my mate, you know, yeah. That kind of thing.
Gee, Feb, it's a hard-hitting interview. I mean, you're not mucking
yeah,
around.
Well, they finish off each other's meals. I just thought maybe it could be a bit of a marriage on Sesame Street.
You finished my sandwich off in the studio. You're four.
She's four,
yeah,
Feb.
Four.
But that's okay. Your son's nine and he's got a girlfriend.
That's a very good point. I mean, you know, you can have a little boyfriend at four, I suppose. That's
and,
cute.
And what about, how is everyone else back on Sesame Street? Because we're so lucky to have you both in Australia, but how are the other guys? How's Big Bird travelling?
Oh, he's so great. Well, he travels a lot with Snuffy, and you can imagine they take up the whole, like, how many seats do they take up on an airplane?
Yeah.
Ooh, that's a lot.
Yeah.
What about Elmo? How's Elmo?
Oh, Elmo, terrific. Yeah, Elmo sends his love. Yeah, he was here last year.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, he's good back in Sesame Street, what is holding he down the fort.
Yeah, he wants us to bring back some Tim Tams for us.
Tim Tam.
Oh, watch out. Oh, Tim Tams. Look out.
Me here, Tim Tams. Where? Oh, where?
Now, you were both very generous then, but I thought, because Feb does like to impersonate Elmo a bit. Now, as a good friend of his, could you give Feb some honest feedback? Feb, do your Elmo impersonation again.
Oh, my name's Elmo. Why don't you like me, Fifi? Trixie didn't talk to me when I was here last.
Me here, Elmo. Elmo here. Elmo, you under table? Where Elmo? Me here, him.
I'm here, Cookie Monster.
Well, Elmo! That sounds pretty good.
Very generous of Cookie Monster.
Very generous.
It's pretty
very
good.
Elmo, sounded, you, thank
I thought,
you.
I thought maybe he was sitting on something, but maybe not.
Well,
that's
it's great to have
nice my four-year-old.
Everyone in. There'll be a lot of cute pictures of all the gang with Trixie, of course, at Fifi, Fev, Byron, which
just
is great fun.
Just one more thing, just quickly, Byron. Sure. Trix, anything you'd like to say to Abby Cadabby or Cookie Monster now? That's a shake of the head.
Yeah, that's nice.
Another successful interview with Trixie and Cookie Monster and Abby Cadabby.
The definition, and block your ears, Sesame Street characters, the definition of stupidity, right, is repeating the same behaviour and expecting a different outcome.
I'm just hoping with every year we'll get there.
Okay. Anyway, catch Cookie Monster, Abby Cadabby and the entire gang, Sesame Street Season 48, ABC Kids, next Monday. We'll be watching.
Yes, I'll be watching because, guys, my wife's pregnant, so I've got a new baby girl coming into the world.
Congratulations.
So watching Sesame Street that all the time.
A new little fairy. I that can't nice. Wait.
And look out for me foodie truck riding around town.
101.9 The Fox.
Sitting down last night with the family watching MasterChef, and I don't usually watch MasterChef, but it was on, and I thought I'd give it a go.
Hmm.
And it was interesting because Sashi, one of the contestants, was going for two pins, which has never been done in MasterChef history.
Oh, the two-pinner.
Yeah, the two-pinner. Ooh. And he was going up against a world-famous chef in Andrew Hammer. He's a chef at Melbourne's QT Hotel. Anyway, they did this lamb and pea dish. So he got to choose what ingredients they put in. And they made this beautiful sauce, and they present the meals at the end to the three judges. And as I was watching, it was interesting to see Gary, one of the chefs.
Oh, one of the judges,
one
Gary.
One of the judges. Yeah. He was a chef and a judge. He was having this awesome chicken sort of gravy soup, right, sauce sort of style thing. And I watched him put it on his lamb, and then he got his spoon and he started eating out of the sauce jug.
Now, hang on.
Yeah. And then he went again after putting his mouth.
That's.
And then he went again.
That's double dipping.
He double dipped.
You can't double dip.
A few times. So we've got the audio, and this is how it went down.
Now, you'll hear, because it's obviously very visual.
We'll hear a ding.
Yeah, there'll be a very audible ding each time Gary Meher double dips.
Double dips.
Sauce looks good. Mm. Oh, wow. Mm. May I might not hand the sauce back. That is sensational. Try that. Exceptional. That's one of the best sauces I've had for a long time.
Oh, hang on. That's four double dips.
And then he passed it on to George. And George put it over his meal.
Yuck.
And I'm watching going, I think he's double dipped about four times.
That's Gary Meher's saliva.
Yeah. And it wasn't a teaspoon. It was a full spoon.
It was a dessert spoon.
It was a proper spoon.
It was like one of those soup ladles. That's disgusting. Gary is a disgrace. So there's a few things we could do here, Fev. There's one is an Insta poll at Fifi Fev Byron. It's the Gary double dip poll. You have your say on Gary's double dipping at Fifi Fair Byron.
I've never laughed so much. But I think I double dip sometimes, especially when you're out at like a function and you have like a chip or a Dorito and you go into the avocado and I'll dip and bite, but then I'll put the other end in that I didn't bite on.
See, that's
to put
a, that's
in.
A grey area, isn't it? Because if you've used the other bit of, say it was a chicken nugget, you've used the unbitten bit.
Unbitten bit.
So is that double dipping?
Oh, I don't know if it is, Byron. Oh. I don't know. Do you double dip?
Look, sanitary, from a sanitary point of view, no, I wouldn't do it. I think it's disgusting. But 13, 10, 60. Let's set up a dob in a double dipper hotline. 13, 10, 60. We will put you on our double dipping blacklist. And it might be someone in your life. Maybe it's your dad who insists on double dipping at the table. Please call us now and let's report these. And Fev, you can decide whether it's technically double dipping, whether they might be okay.
Yeah, I'll be the judge. Have you double dipped worse than Gary off MasterChef?
13, 10, 60.
1019, The Fox.
With Abby Cadabby and Cookie Monster, does Trixie, I mean, she's a beautiful little girl, but does Trixie ruin our Sesame Street interview? I mean, look, that's the wrong way to put it, but she's just not very talkative in front of the characters. We'll see how that goes after 8, right here on The Fox with Fifi, Fev and Byron.
Yeah, I was watching MasterChef last night with the girls, and we're sitting on the couch, and the final dishes had got presented to the judges, and our good friend Gary had a crack at the sauce that was made by one of the chefs, Andrew, and he thought it was a dessert. He got his big dessert spoon and he had a massive crack at the sauce.
He's double dipped.
And then he passed it on to his mates after he's done this.
Yuck, yeah. And when you hear this, obviously it's visual. We played this earlier. There will be a very audible ding each time Gary dips his ladle into the gravy.
Sauce looks good. Oh, wow. Mate, I might not hand the sauce back. That is sensational. Try that. Exceptional. That's one of the best sauces I've had for a long time.
Oh.
Is there any left?
Oh, get out of it, Gary.
Yeah, the bit of audio there said he might not hand the sauce back, but then he said he'd have a crack, and George did.
Poor George.
So he's pretty much had Gaz's saliva.
Yeah, we've said 13, 10, 60, and this is serious. I know other shows will be covering a number of serious topics this morning. We are
no, they won't.
Dobbing in a double dipper. Dob in a double dipper. Jackie is on the line to dob in a double dipper.
Jackie, good morning.
Good morning. My case, it's not really double dipping, but it's just as bad. It's when you go to a birthday party and the parents that are cutting up the birthday cake cut a piece, put it onto the plate, lick their fingers, then proceed to cut the next piece. And they do that through each piece of the cake. I mean, they may as well just pick up the cake and lick the whole perimeter of the cake.
Where do you stand on that, Fev? I mean, it's an
Jackie,
interesting one.
It's an interesting one, Jack. But I reckon I do that with... I reckon I lick... I'm hopeless at this stuff.
Well, I wouldn't eat your cake if you cut it for me, if you did that.
There we go. Thank you, Jackie.
Oh, thanks, Jack.
Yeah. It's a different type of double dipping, but I think we will include it under the realms of double dipping.
That's double dipping.
All right. Kathy from Truganina is going to dob in a double dipper.
Hey, guys. Yeah. So we were hanging out with some friends once, and you know, you share a bowl of chips.
Yes.
So we're just having a chat, picking up the chips. Then I noticed that one of the girls was actually fishing through to the bottom of the bowl to get the salt and the herbs. And she did it again and again. So obviously you're licking the salt off your fingers.
Oh.
And she just kept fishing. And so
her
spitty
hands going through all the...
Yeah.
Oh,
I had to nudge my husband and say, look, just stop eating it because it's not very hygienic.
See, I reckon someone, Kath, like a Byron, who's a massive tight ass, I reckon he'd do this because then if you do that, no one else is going to have a crack at the bowl.
Then you get it all to yourself.
The bowl of chips is all to yourself.
That's smart. Thank you.
It's actually smart.
I'll take that more as a tip, Kathy. Much appreciated.
Connor from...
Yeah, no worries.
Connor from Pakenham, representing.
How you going?
Good, mate.
Mate, my daughter, she loves chips and corn chips and avocado, and she uses it like a spoon, mate. She stucks it off and keeps going and going and going until there's no avocado, and she's used one chip.
Oh, so it's a soggy sort of mess in her hand, and she just keeps going in for the communal bowl of av.
Well, it started off as communal, mate, but no one's touching it.
Again, it's smart.
Now the first caller, Byron, and I said I'd do that sort of do that with the cake. My brother, Jason, the rat killer from Rentokil.
Yeah, good business.
He said, you're 100% that cake story, even when you cut up meat and everything, like the Seinfeld episode. I am. I'm guilty.
You are the extreme double dipper.
101.9 The Fox.
Our favourite stand-up comedian is in the studio and book tickets for his regional tour right now at rossnoble.com.
Ross, welcome back to the show.
It's wonderful to be here. And that's what a wonderful favourite stand-up comedian. That's favorite. Not going to cause any trouble amongst the comedy community. You know. I mean, it's a wonderful compliment, but it's a bit like painting a target on my back now. I
mean, you're the hunted now.
The rest of the comedy world. Yeah. A fairy, is he?
Ross, we're excited about you coming for a few reasons. Obviously because of that, because you're our favourite stand-up comedian, but also because Fev was excited because it means we don't have to do anything because you're so good at talking.
Oh, I see. So, like, normally you do all the research and stuff.
Well, last time we had so much research done and then we end up speaking three breaks about fragrances. And
remember, I had all these questions I wanted to ask
chocolate
you.
Chocolate as well, wasn't it? Yes, some sort it of was. Chocolate thing?
Yeah.
And you were putting stuff on your face.
You couldn't even get a question out.
Honey on your face? Was that what you did?
No, lemon in the hair.
Lemon in the hair. That's what I'm sorry. I'm confusing honey chicken and lemon chicken. Two very different things. Ooh. Wherever you're listening, please don't put honey on your face.
No, don't put honey on your face.
Do you know what I mean? Is that how they do it? You know, the beard of bees?
What?
The beard of bees.
What's the beard of bees?
I wondered how long it would take before I received it. What? You'd see it on like the Ripley's Believe It or Not type programs.
He'd
have a beard of bees and he'd have like loads of bees.
Yeah.
Like more than seven. They'd have like 1,000 bees all just sort of... Honestly, have you never seen a beard of bees?
Beard of bees. He looks like a beard.
He's just a man. There you go, you see.
He's got a beard of bees.
Let's put that up on our Instagram. Let's put that up at Fifi Byron.
Geez, there's some weird cats out there, isn't there?
Are these photoshopped?
Is that real? I swear to God.
Look at these.
There's two things happening here. One, it's made me have a long, hard look at myself. I just assumed that everyone was down with the beard of bees.
And I thought everyone was putting lemon in their hair.
Exactly.
Hey, Ross, while I'm Googling, you can actually buy an inflatable beard of bees. What? It's a product.
So is the guy who has the bearded bee man is so popular, people go, oh, I want to go to a fancy dress party. He has the beard of bees. I mean, I don't know if it's just like a thing, like a, you know, like a strong man act, or is it a man smuggling bees?
I reckon it's a guy who wants no one around him. He just wants to be by himself, because if a man walked up with a beard full of bees, it's hard to say, isn't it?
Very hard.
I would go nowhere near him because I'm scared. I don't want to be stung.
Possibly as a good deterrent for would-be muggers.
Yeah.
You know,
walk down the street with your
rough area.
Gucci bag with all your cash in it. Just put a beard of bees on.
Yeah. Friday night, you know.
Stay away from me.
Exactly.
I'm taken.
Just keep away. Or, like, if you're in a nightclub, say, you know, if you're an attractive woman in a nightclub and you get a lot of attention from the fellas.
Oh, man, you can't. You've got to be general neutral these days.
What?
You can't just say attractive woman, attractive human.
Oh, no, man. No. You've confused the whole gender thing. You're allowed to say woman. If you're talking specifically about a woman, you're allowed to say an attractive woman.
Well, can we? I don't know if we can.
You can. You honestly can say... You can, because what you don't realise is that this woman transitioned.
Oh, God.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
In this case, I said an attractive woman in a nightclub, but I am all for attractive men being harassed in nightclubs as well. If that's the point.
But which nightclub do you go to? I'm happy to go there.
If you are, I support men being harassed by other men.
Good on you.
And that's to my credit.
Yeah.
Can I just say, this is a joke. Respect to all people. What? Ironically, my point was going to be about going into a nightclub with a beard of bees. It's probably that, you know what? It's not the gender politics that's going to get me in trouble. It'll be the animal rights people.
Yeah, no.
It's going to be the problem. The vegans will be furious.
You've got to go to rossnoble.com. You've got to see this guy's show. We love when he's on this show.
My cheeks are
There's
sore.
No one left to offend, Ross. Thanks for coming in.
Okay. Oh, so the bees.
It's 101.9 The Fox. Fifi, Feb and Byron. Actually, got a couple of those specific shows for you right now. In Werribee at the Wyndham Cultural Centre, that is Friday the 20th of July, and Moorabbin, Kingston Arts Centre, Saturday the 21st of July. It is a must-see. Ross Noble, get your tickets at rossnoble.com.
101.9 The Fox.
If you're a truckie and you're good at karaoke, call us now for Truckyoke.
Beef will be back on deck tomorrow. It's the truckies' chance. They're sick of the tradies getting all the attention with Tradeyoke, which is sponsored
which is
by
fair enough.
Bosch. Also, Bluntstone are just throwing their money at Tradeyoke. We always have prizes for Tradeyoke. Truckyoke is struggling for corporate interest at the moment. Fev, this is great news. I think we might have found ourselves a little sponsor here.
We have. We've got Mark from Wallen. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm very well. Have you got a prize for these truckies?
We do. I'm from Supergas, Somerton. I've got a dozen drink bottles for you. I'm actually a friend of Jay that won it last week.
Oh, this is great.
Oh, there you go.
Supergas doing a tremendous job, Supergas there in Somerton. A dozen drink bottles from Supergas Somerton.
And where's a truckie without a drink bottle? You've got to be hydrated.
Oh, that's a great selling point. No, well done. Thanks, Mark. You hold the line. We'll make sure all the back end is handled. So now we know what we're playing for, Feb. It makes it a tantalising prospect.
Yes. Gino from Lara, how are you?
Good, thanks, mate. How you going, Feb?
Yeah, good, mate. And what do you do with yourself?
I'm a plumber, man.
What? Oh, well, hang on. This is Truckyoke. You're a plumber?
Yeah, mate. I drive a truck as well with a big excavator on it.
Oh, there you go.
Okay,
there.
Phew. Jeez.
Otherwise, I'm going to have to... Oh, there it is. That's an actual truckie horn. It's about time we've gone three truckies, and that's the first time we've heard. Now, what are you going to sing for us, mate?
I'm going to sing Backstreet Boys, Larger Than Life.
Oh, playing on a world-famous rooftop, too.
Nice tie-in. They are playing on our world-famous rooftop.
In Vegas.
Well, this would be interesting. Gino, the excavator, heading to Mickleham, and he's ready to sing some Backstreet Boys.
Give us your best, AJ.
Hey, can I just quickly give a shout-out to me boys from Point Cook Plumbing?
You can do whatever you want, mate.
Boys from Point Cook Plumbing, these are all legends. Yeah, work hard today.
Now sing.
Right. People, can't you see how your love's affecting our reality? Every time you're down, you can make it right, and that makes you larger than life.
Oh,
Gino, who was your mate laughing in the background?
The apprentice, Jacob.
The apprentice. Well done. Oh. Hold the line.
He wasn't exactly your hype guy, was
no.
he? He was just there undermining the whole performance. All right, we'll move on.
Johnny from Cranbourne.
G'day, g'day, guys. How you going?
A water truck driver.
I am, and I'm not blowing my horn because it's crap.
How do they just drive underwater? What's the go there?
Spring water. So we deliver the water coolers and the 15-litre bottles that go on top.
Oh, beautiful.
Well, let's hope this performance is the subject of a lot of water cooler chat this morning.
Yeah, exactly. Let's put some vodka in it, though.
Oh, what are you going to sing, Johnny?
Frank Sinatra, My Way.
Oh, wow. Yes, there were
times. Obviously.
Wow. I'm sure obviously, you yeah. knew.
Oh,
even Johnny's laughing. Righto, mate. Take it away.
All right. And now the end is near. And so I face the final curtain, my friend. I'll say it clear. I'll state my case on which I'm certain. I've lived a life that's full. I've traveled each and every highway and more. Much more than this, I did it my way.
Wow.
Mate, can you honk your horn? I want to hear it.
Oh, that's ruined the whole thing. Thank you, John.
Your singing was worse.
Let's head out
Sean
to
from Bunyip.
Beautiful Bunyip, Fev.
Hey, guys. How you going?
I'm good, mate. What's happening?
Just on the way to Mount Albert North.
Oh, beautiful. Mount Albert. What are you going to sing for us, mate?
I'm going to sing... Stacey's Mum by Fountains of Wayne.
Oh. What are you? You're hauling some rocks this morning, Sean, as we understand.
Yeah, doing a rock delivery.
All right, here we go. Rock delivery and delivering the great rock of Fountains of Wayne. Good luck.
All right.
You know, I'm not the little boy that I used to be. I'm all grown up now, baby, can't you see? St. Pete's mom has got it going on. She's all I want, and I waited for so long. Stacy, can't you see? You're this nice girl for me. I know it might be wrong, but I'm in love with Stacy's mom.
Oh, wow. Well done, Sean from Bunyip. Now, mate, the passion that you sung that song and you delivered it well, and Stacey's mum has got it going on, and you win the dozen drink bottle from Supergas.
Thanks, mate.
Yes, Truckee Yogi, unofficially sponsored by our good friends at Supergas. Mark will send you your dozen drink bottles. He's a friend of Jay, who won the segment last week. Well done. Any speech you'd like to make? Anyone you'd like to thank? It's a huge win.
Stacey's mum.
Just shout out to the boys at Marble Flat.
Well done.
Thank
Sean.
You.
101.9 The Fox.
Tell you what, Fev, look, we like to follow the royal family. Even with Thief not here, she should be back on deck tomorrow. We do like to keep a close eye on what's happening with the royals. Your mate Meghan Markle's good mates with one particular senior royal.
Yeah, the Queen. They've become really good mates. And I saw her at lunch they were at last week, and you never see the Queen laugh or, you know, get up and about, and she just loves Meghan, and they're just up and about. They're at Royal Ascot overnight, and the Queen loves her horses.
Yeah.
As much as her dogs, I reckon, her little pugs. But
I think they're corgis. But
corgis, pugs. Hey, they look
pugs.
The same. Well, it's the same thing.
The famous Queen's pugs.
It's a dog. She gets happy. She's happy. And I thought, talking about royals, Leon yesterday told us a great story about one of his mates who had an encounter with a royal. Leon.
Yeah, I don't know if this is slander now that I say this, but okay, we'll push on. This is all alleged.
Okay, this may not have happened. Well, it involves a royal.
Yeah, so my mate Jack is in Australia right now from the UK. He told me a story that when he was 14, he was doing his first job was at Longdale Polo Club being an umpire for the polo.
Yes.
And the royal family frequently visited. And,
they love the polo.
Prince Charles used to play. And at one point, Prince Charles hit the ball into the goals, and my mate Jack called it out when Ooh. Prince Charles thought it was actually in.
Right.
Prince Charles went up to him and said, "You're a f***ing idiot."
Wow, so
what, a beeping idiot?
I'm not going to say that.
It's one of the bad words. There's Prince, two or three really bad yeah. words.
So he was sworn by at
Prince
by
Charles
a,
called
by
him
a royal.
An idiot, yes.
Idiot. Surely you knew the brief. If the royal shoots a goal, you say it's a goal.
But we thought we might have some fun with this. The idea, because you think about swearing as the everyday person's thing to do.
Yeah.
When people very important and senior are swearing, there's something funny about that. There's just something funny about Prince Charles just dropping the F-bomb.
Yeah, 13:10:60. Have you been sworn at by someone important?
Can we find the most important?
The most important.
I like this.
I've been sworn at by umpires before. They're important.
AFL umpires.
AFL umpires.
They're important.
And I probably deserved it half the time.
Do they swear? Because they're mic'd up these days.
Yeah, when I played, they weren't mic'd up.
And they would swear?
Oh, yeah, I'd cop a bit.
Wow.
Because I give it back.
Yeah, well, okay.
Yeah,
well,
so, yeah.
You're not allowed to do
but
that.
But I think that's the most important person that I've ever sworn at.
All right,
at
let's
me.
See
I
if
cop
we...
a few rude, when you're driving sometimes, and yeah.
Well, they're just everyday people. Let's go for important people. So far, AFL umpire is the highest authority we have. Has someone important sworn at
the
you?
Prime Minister? Do you reckon
well, that'd be great if we get the PM swearing at someone. 13...
Rudd used to like to swear.
K Rudd swore at that cameraman once.
Correct.
He was ropeable.
Yeah.
Remember when you called me a dickhead a couple of weeks ago?
Okay.
13 on air.
On air?
We made up. It was a very real moment, a very raw moment in the history of this show.
But you're not important, so it doesn't matter.
101.9 The Fox.
One amazing story, Fev, that our executive producer Leon shared with us. One of his British mates, a polo umpire.
Yes, had the Prince of Wales say, beep. You, when he had a shot for goal when he was playing polo, and he thought it was a goal, and his mate said it was out.
Yeah.
But you should have read the brief and let it go through.
It's the fact that he is very high ranking in society and swearing that we thought was interesting. If just anyone can swear, so what? But
if it had been Prince Philip, I would have said yeah.
You'd almost expect that from him. You're right. But it's when people who are very important or who have a high rank swear.
Yeah. Yes. So we've got Jake from Pakenham. Who swore at you, Jakey boy?
Tony Lockett.
Tony Lockett's got a few references in his show lately. What did he say?
He told me to pretty much bugger off when I said, "Hey, plugger."
How many times do you reckon someone said, "Hey, plugger" to him?
Half a dozen.
Half a dozen.
He's had it a couple of times. Tony Lockett. There we go. So that's you've never sworn. I mean, that's and he must have just been a bad day for Plugger.
Yeah,
that's...
Plugger must have had a bad day there at the dirt bike racetrack in Mildura. Roberta.
Yes. Hi.
Good morning. Who's sworn at you?
Peter Russell Clark. He was an angry man.
Okay, now look, for those, and look, Peter Russell Clark is old school. He almost defines, if you think old school celebrity, Google image search Peter Russell Clark. We've found a little jingle here. This is Peter Russell Clark, just to reset Peter for those who aren't familiar with him.
Come and get it, come and get it, with Peter Russell Clark. The city of the outback, he's Australia's brightest spark.
So apparently this guy, this bearded man, has the most foul mouth in history.
That's one of my favourite jingles.
When he wasn't doing that show, he was just swearing at people. That's all he ever did.
Oh, poor Roberto. What did he say?
Well, don't
he
say
rang,
it.
He rang my... No, I'm not going to say it, but he rang my company trying to get scan something. And
celebrity discounts.
Celebrity discounts. And because I didn't know who he was, he got quite vocal and said, I'm Peter Clark.
Don't you know who I am? I'm Peter Russell Clark.
And where's your company? What can I get some free stuff?
Whoa. Okay, we'll leave you there. No, we'll leave you there, Fev. Just shameless. We've got another one here. We're talking, if you've just tuned in, high-ranking people that swear. Yes. I don't know that Plugger or Peter Russell Clark are that impressive in terms of their standing in society.
We always save the best to last, Byron. That's the beauty of radio. Crystal.
Hi, guys. How are you going?
We're very well. Missing Fifi, but hopefully she's back on deck tomorrow. Who swore at you?
Our priest during our wedding.
So during your wedding?
Yeah. Our groomsmen were having a bit of fun while they were holding all the dishes to bless our rings. And the priest turned around and said, this isn't an effing football match.
That is our winner. Wow. Yeah.
Well done, Crystal.
We didn't think we'd get a priest.
101.9 The Fox.
I know when that hotline ring. Yeah. That can only mean one thing. It's called Hotline Ring. Okay. We need you to sing the next line.
Now, this week, obviously, it's where we play a song down the phone line and we don't give up until you complete the lyrics. Doesn't matter where you are. You could be at work. You could be somewhere where you don't want to be singing, but we just persist. Now, this is a nice theme, Fev, around the Optus Sports fail. Obviously, SBS have had to come to the rescue. People couldn't even watch a lot of the soccer games. It was buffering. There were problems. It wasn't on normal television. People were angry. And so we've selected a song that sort of fits in with that.
Yeah, we have, Byron, and we sat back yesterday after the show, and Fee and I are pests, and we like to ring people, and we want to hear the lyrics to the song that we play, and we thought nothing better for Optus at the moment to play a bit of Justin Bieber. Is it too late to say sorry?
It's a nice touch. Also, I like the cameo here. Good of you to call
my mate,
your good mate Honky.
Yes.
Now, Honky, obviously, one of the reserves for which AFL club again?
Local footy club? The Melton South Panthers.
I can't keep up with all your teams. From Melton South Panthers. Honky, a real character. He's in there as well. Listen out for him.
Hello? Is it too late now? To say sorry, 'cause I'm missing more than just your body. I know that I let you down. Is it too late to say I'm sorry now? Is it too late now? Say sorry, 'cause I'm missing more than just your body.
Hello. Is it too late now? What? Is it too late now? Can you stop calling every day? I'm not playing along. Is it too late now? To say sorry. Happy now?
Hello?
Hello, Kirsty speaking. Is it too late now? Sorry, who's this? Is it too late now? I can't. I'm in the office. Is it too late now? Okay, 1 second. All right, go. Is it too late now? Say sorry, 'cause I'm missing more than just your body. All right, you're welcome. Got to go back to the meeting. Bye.
Hello. Is it too late now to say sorry? I miss more than just your body. Ring a ding ding, Hoggy is the king.
101.9 The Fox.
Yeah, a little bit of sports chat, Byron, over the weekend. It's an old story, but it's a goodie. The US Open was played over there in the States, and it was a tough course. None of the players finished under par. They all finished over par. I think the cut was like 10 over. So it was a challenging course. It was good to see the actual best professional golfers in the world having a tough time at it. And one guy that had a tough time was Phil Mickelson, who's a five-time, he's a champion of the game, five-time major winner. He should have been disqualified because he had a putt on the 13th green and he hit it, and he hit it too hard. So what was going to happen is the ball was going to roll off the green
right, and
go behind the bunker. So he thought...
So it's rolling down a hill.
It's rolling down a hill because he hit it too hard past the hole. So he's ran after the ball on the green, which you don't really see golfers run too often, which is funny in itself.
Right.
And he proceeded to hit the ball as it was still rolling.
He's intercepted it.
He's intercepted it and hit it back up the hill. And that's a breaching the rule 14.5, which prohibits a player hitting a moving ball.
Phil Mickelson, he's at the US Open. He thinks that he's at Holy Moly.
He thinks
it's that place where you get drunk and have a bit of a putt. What's he doing?
He thinks he's playing putt. And he knew it was a two-stroke penalty, but he thought that if he goes down the hill, he'd probably have more shots. And this is what he had to say.
Whoa.
Wow.
That's stunning.
Phil, it's a simple question. What happened over at 13?
Look, I don't mean disrespect by anybody. I know it's a two-shot penalty, and at that time, I just didn't feel like going back and forth and hitting the same shot over. I took the two-shot penalty, moved on. It's my understanding of the rules. I've had multiple times where I've wanted to do that. I just finally did.
Well, I've had multiple times where I've wanted to cheat, but then I finally did cheat.
Yeah, he cheated.
Unbelievable.
But he knew the rules, and he went down and he thought he could hit it up, but as a rule state, you can't actually hit a moving ball.
Right.
So he actually should have been disqualified, but he wasn't disqualified.
All right. Now, before this degrades into some sort of golf talkback topic, 13, 10, 60, it is a broad area cheating, and I know for a fact, Fev, that board games at your family, you're not popular.
I'm not popular. I maybe cheat a little bit in Monopoly. Never lost a game of Monopoly. But when you're playing with your kids, you can just sit there and... Instead of paying your fine, you just keep it in your pocket.
Oh.
And when you get just say Lulu or Lenny or me or whoever the kid is that I'm playing with, or whoever's a sucker, they've got like a Mayfair and I've got like two greens, but then I've got also Park Lane. I'll go, I'll give you the two greens, you give me $1,000 and I'll take Mayfair. And they go, yeah, that's a great idea because they're getting two for one.
Right.
They don't understand. And then I just build houses and hotels.
They're children. That's disgusting. 13, 10, 60, in any line of game playing, sports, even in life, if you've cheated, let's look for Melbourne's biggest cheat. I reckon we can beat Phil Mickelson.
It'd be tough because it is the US Open. He's a five-time champion. All right. Cheated in front of the world.
If you're a notorious cheat, or maybe someone in your family is a cheat. 13, 10, 60.
We've got Lisa from Narre Warren. Must be in the water down there. Morning, Lisa.
Good morning, guys. How's it going?
We're good. And what did you cheat at?
I cheated on almost all of my VCE exams, all the important ones.
Oh, gee. I thought this was just going to be fun and lighthearted.
This is what I wanted, Byron.
This is serious.
How did you cheat?
I would staple the, I'd have a little cheat sheet. And because obviously we used to wear dresses, I would staple it to the underneath my dress. So when I stood up, you couldn't see it. But when I was sitting down, I would just take a little sneak peek and then fold it back.
Oh, well played.
Don't say well played.
What marks did you get?
like altogether, like as my ATAR.
Yeah.
I got a 70.1.
Oh, well
done. It wasn't all down to the cheating, but like there was still hard work there, but.
There's a lot of hard work working out how you could cheat.
There's a lot of hard work writing okay. on the cheat sheet.
To live only a stone's throw away from the South Melbourne markets, vibrant cafe culture, minutes from light rail on the border of Melbourne CBD and Port Melbourne Beach, visit 1585.com.au. 1585, a jewel in the urban landscape.